Good morning. We are going to continue our study of the healing seminars, Kauai 1989 and Chicago 1990 by Herb Fitch. And the new book, which has had all the errors that I've seen, it has been edited and fixed thanks to Susan. Thank you very much, Susan. And another lady in Australia is putting together the cover and the layout, and we should have a new book pretty soon. And the new one will be called New Dimensions in Healing. And I'll let you know when it's ready. And I'm sorry about all these that went out without being looked at close enough. All right, so this is Class 1, Physician Heal Thyself. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do this in one talk. It may take two. This is a long chapter. So we'll begin here. Herb says, some of us have discovered certain requirements on the path. Paul summed it all up in Corinthians, and I'd like to read his passage to you. For we know that if our earthly house in this tabernacle were removed, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then he says, to point the way more sharply, if we are present in the body, we are absent from God. The body, the human body, if we are in that, we are absent from God. Now it all adds up to one simple thing. If we are present in the immortal body, we survive. And if we are present in the mortal, then we are retreaded, come back, and try again. If we are Christed, then we do not die. You cannot live in a human body and make a transition. You may as well face that, because it's the truth that you've been facing all your life and for many lives. The only way you can make a transition is to be in your immortal spiritual body. It's the same thing with healing. You're not going to heal a human being of anything until you're in your immortal body. Then the question remains, if we are to be immortal and must leave our mortal body to do it, do we set our priorities on that? Or do we just go drifting along, hoping today to have a kinder experience, a little more harmony, a little more dollars? That's what Joel ran into with his students. Many of them became content when everything straightened out in their human lives. But they were no nearer to their immortal life. He says there are three or four causes for every problem in the universe. One, we believe that we are a human life. Two, we believe that we are apart from God, or at least God is another individual. And three, we have a human mind. You can trace all your problems on this earth to the human mind, the belief in life apart from God, and that our life is human. They're all untrue, and we have to correct them. For years, Joel talked about the capital E experience, which is experienced in meditation, when we feel and commune with God. That's the kind of experience we have to have. We have to feel and commune with our own immortal life, our own immortal body, which is God. He says we have to make radical changes. Our destination should be, in this incarnation, immortality. This incarnation we transcend. This incarnation we see God face to face. Now, are you looking for a better income, better health, a nicer companion, or maybe a companion that you don't have? Or are you looking for immortality, transcending and seeing God face to face? We have to make radical changes. In order to be successful in healing, there must be three things present. One, you acknowledge the Christ. Two, you love the Christ. And three, you believe that Christ is perfect. The minute we establish these three viewpoints and practice them, we find a great change in the amount of healing work we do, because we start to find love going out from us, and we're recognizing our own Christhood as we recognize the individual Christhood of the patient. He is the Christ. You are the Christ. Without that recognition, there's no healing. Now, when the phone rings in your house, the last thing you're thinking of is, this is the Christ on the other end of the phone. See, we have to make radical changes. You do have to think, this is invisible God coming to me for recognition. This is not a patient that needs healing. That's all the mortal mind way of looking at it. This is the invisible God coming to me for recognition, and I need to go into my meditation and rest there until I feel, until I recognize the presence of God. So, he says, you're not thinking at the same time that I am the Christ too. You're thinking of the everyday events. Child going to school, you're making a hurried omelet in the kitchen, or whatever you're doing. And these are the things you're thinking, and the phone rings, and the person says, help me. And you've got to be in readiness to help right then. And to know that this is the Christ who is perfect, without even taking thought about it. Instantly, you've got to zero in on who's calling. And it can only be one person. It doesn't make any difference who it is. You've got one caller that day. If it's 10 times or 15 or 5, the caller is always saying, I am the Christ, and I need you to recognize it. Because the Christ is my identity, but my outer self doesn't seem to know it. I can't realize it. I know my inner self is the Christ, but I can't realize it in the outer self. This is why we have to pray without ceasing, so when the call comes, we're ready. And that doesn't mean going around saying prayers all day. It means, like Joel said, we hold an area of consciousness always receptive. and the phone rings and we think to ourselves, this is Christ, this is God, invisible God, and we pick it up and we hear those words, I need your help. Okay, I will help you. And then we are instructed by every person in the infinite way that has ever attained consciousness, we are instructed to forget the person immediately. There's no person here. There's invisible God. And now you're at the part in your meditation that you can't do. You've said all the words. This is invisible God appearing. And now, Father, reveal thyself. And you wait. And you listen. And you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing he said to the disciples in the upper chamber, that is, in the higher consciousness. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And then you are seeing the truth of the one who called. This is Christ. I know thee, who thou art. The Christ, the Son of the living God. The best way is to close your eyes and to know that you are the Christ. Yes, and this is invisible God coming to you for recognition. That's what I wrote in the margin. We can't be mortal and help someone spiritually. We have to first be what we are. That's the requirements for being a healer. Be what you are, which is Christ invisible. Now, as the Christ, and this is how you must be willing to address yourself, your function is to bring a patient closer to his immortality, closer to his eternal life. You have to be able to unleash the forces of God. As a spiritual healer, you are not interested in healing this individual between his head and his feet. Other healing methods can do that, but that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to bring this man closer to his reality. And your realization of the invisible God will do that, if it's a realization and not just a thoughts in the thinking mind. So when you heal, you are helping yourself, because the hardest thing to do is to learn how to see the Christ of an individual. Thank God there's something called grace, because grace will reveal it to you. In order to understand the basis of this, you have to go back and see that there are several levels to our lives, and that your life started out without a beginning. There's no place in time in which life began. See, you've never had a beginning. You are as old as God and as young as the brand new day. You've never had a beginning. And when you climb into your immortal self, and when you rest in it in your meditation or even while walking around, then you're living in that higher consciousness, and people that come to you will be healed even before the message gets to you, just by reaching out, because you're in that immortal self and you recognize that invisible immortal self coming to you. You lift up that immortal self in them. The awareness that now I am who I always was, now are we the sons of God, And as you maintain this awareness while treating that this individual is the Son of God, you'll find if you can't be swayed from who he is or who you are, that's the beginning of your healing process. So that's where you're going to stand, and the person's going to come to you with any ailment whatsoever. You're going to know one thing, that he is the perfect invisible Christ. There is no question, but as you set in motion that awareness that you're the life of God who never dies, that you're fulfilling the statement made by Jesus that those who hear his sayings will never die. I must learn how to feel the presence of my Christ body. I've got to feel the presence of my Christ mind. I cannot be a Christ mind and a Christ body and a human mind and human body at the same time. So as long as I'm in one, I'm not in the other. Everything we accept of a human, which we call ourselves, perpetuates our absence from God. Paul says he'd rather be present with God and absent from the body. So would I, and so would you. We have to be absent from this body to be present with God, and that's just a simple fact. You cannot be in a human body and be under the law of God. If you're absent from God, you're absent from his law. You're absent from life eternal. You're absent from all the wonderful divine things that are true if you're absent from God. And if you're in the immortal body, the Christ body, present with God, then you're under the law of God. And hence we have Joel's, "There's no God in the human scene," which started the infinite way. How can all these things be? Remember, he told us he was in Europe and he was looking at all the countries that were lining up to go to war, and he saw a church almost on every block. And he said to himself, "How can this be?" And the answer was, "There's no God in the human scene." Now that makes life kind of scary, doesn't it? But isn't it true? Anything can happen. A meteor can fall on your house and hit you in the side. Lightning can strike you while you're walking to the mailbox. An earthquake can crumble the apartment complex you're living in and bury you. But what if you're living in your immortal body? Ah, then, like Joel, you come under the law of God and the protection of God. And God moves in harmony. So the day of the earthquake, you go on a trip. You didn't plan it. Something came up and you needed to go on this trip to take care of something. And you went on the trip and then the earthquake hit. But you weren't anywhere around it, because you live in harmony. You live in a harmonious consciousness. And when you live in your immortal body, you're living in that harmonious consciousness, because your immortal body is harmonious consciousness. Now, he says, maybe you've never been faced with the necessity for being present with God. being the Christ body, being the immortal body. But if you're going to do healing, that's a different story. Then you're going to learn how to be, or else you might as well not start. And furthermore, if you're going to do divine healing, spiritual healing, Christ healing, mystical healing, the only help you can be to a person is if you are in the Christ body, and if you do recognize the Christ body of the individual. When Christ of you recognizes Christ of him or her, you're on the way to real spiritual healing. It takes practice, practice, and more practice. See, you can start with the simpler things. Your wife, your husband, your spouse, your partner says, "I have a headache." You go to work right then. This is invisible God coming to you for recognition. Can you see through the person with the headache? And can you see behind them and commune with this invisible presence of God? If you can, the other person is going to say, "Oh, I don't know what happened. It's gone now." Jesus was in his Christhood and seeing the Christhood of everyone all the time, because it takes practice, practice, and more practice, and he perfected it. But we must make a start. So we start with the simple things, and we practice and practice and practice. It's really quite fascinating to me, because in the practice you are surrendering your humanhood. You're absent from humanhood and present with the presence. So he says that's the value, or at least one of the major values, of going into spiritual healing. In order to do it, you're going to have to develop your Christhood and behold the Christhood of the individuals requesting help. Our job, as you see, is really an undercover one, because we're learning how to Christ the world. We're learning how to recognize that the world is Christ. And I think that there's no nobler profession in the universe than this kind of necessity to reach an awareness that everywhere we look, everyone is the Christ veiled. And we can pierce the masquerade and see beneath the veil with the inner self. Now we're going to change the world. And the first change you'll notice is yourself. Because when it comes upon you, there's no way to describe the way you feel. Yes, when you're sitting in meditation and you're flooded with the invisible presence, and you know it's your invisible presence and his or her invisible presence, one invisible presence, there's no way to describe the way you feel when that happens. You realize that all things are possible. And not only will you be helping yourself to reach the ultimate goal, accelerating your transition, but you will be helping people you never thought you'd help. All kinds of people. And they'll come from remote corners of the world. Because, as Joel told us so many years ago in his books, we must recognize the Christhood of all those who come to us. He said he used to paint a capital I on the forehead of everyone he talked to, or everyone that came to him, so that he could remember it was I. He painted it in his mind, an I. so that he could remember, I am the life coming to you for recognition. They're not coming for healing. They think they are. That's what the human wants you to believe. You work on the human, and Joel says you'll never get free. You have to recognize the invisible God, God invisible, that's coming to you for recognition. All right, so that brings us to an end of side one, and we're at 26 minutes. Okay, maybe we will finish all of this. So now for side two. You've got to be, he says, in constant awareness of the presence of Christ within you and outside of you. Throughout the length of the village, the town, the city, the universe. We need our conviction that Christ knows, that Christ does, that Christ is. We're going to recognize that where the dark spots are, the light is. Years ago, I started something that I never should have stopped, and so I think I'm going to take it up again. Whenever I would meet with someone, inside myself, silently, I would say, where you appear to be, I am. I would say, where you appear to be, I am. And I would recognize the I. Lots of interesting and strange things happened. So, we want to establish the one important thing to a healer, that you're not doing the work. No individual does it. The invisible infinite Christ is the healer, and it is here, it is now, it is real. And the infinite Christ, when you are connected to it by simply accepting he is and I am and dwelling in that, the infinite Christ will ignite. It will do incredible things. Let's dwell on the fact that Christ is your invisibility, but it's also my invisibility, and it's John's invisibility, and it's Mary's invisibility, and everybody's invisibility. It doesn't matter if you're a saint or a sinner, if you've got $1 million or $10. Everyone has the same Christ. So now, you know the secret. The secret is that they're not coming to you to be healed. You drop all that. Say, I will help you, or I'll meditate for you. And that's it. Now you drop it. Your part is to remember, this is the God invisible coming to me for recognition. But I can't recognize it with my human mind. That's not enough. I've got to go deeper. I have to have an experience, and the experience has to come from, well, from God, from the invisible God. Invisible God must reveal itself. And that part of the meditation I cannot do. I can behold, I can listen, I can observe. Now, invisible God, reveal yourself. And I'm silent. And we've spoken many times before of that inner movement. When you feel that, or you feel the presence, or you're flooded with peace and love, or however the invisible God reveals itself to you, This is the pearl that you've been waiting for. This will restore the lost years of the locust. This will restore his or her soul consciousness. And this is our real work. So I hope you see that now, and I hope you practice. Only through my awareness of it can I make this happen. It can only happen through my awareness. Yeah, not your thoughts. It has to be the awareness. I have overcome the world. I am your teacher, and I have overcome the world. And I promise you that if you believe in my sayings, if you hear my sayings, you will not see death. How do I get rid of this body? Well, it's an image. I don't have to get rid of it. I just have to know it isn't real. It isn't truth. It isn't invisible God. What did Joel say? He coined a phrase, white poodles. Look at all these white poodles, images trying to have power. And of course they have power because I believe in them. So you start unbelieving and you find some of the images back down. A couple of days, you get rid of something that usually takes you a month. You learn to say, there's a pain, but I, the Spirit of God, the immortal body, I don't hurt. And that's one way to get started with your immortal body. Catch the difference. This isn't you. Start realizing it's not you. And if you're wise, you take that to heart right now. If I accept this body as drinking water, as doing this, doing that, and doing the other thing, naturally I'm going to get 50 or 60 years of believing in a body. I can't drop the idea that it's not me quickly, but I can start. Because if you let this body be you, it's going to die. We have a building, a temple not made with hands. A body, temple, eternal in the heavens. And there's a place, he says, where truth that you can't accept becomes acceptable. There's a place where something that was impossible at one time for you to feel, well, I'll get over that. No, there comes that place where all of a sudden you glimpse possibilities. Something spiritual happens to you, and it gives you the start. And you come to another event spiritually. And finally you can see the horizon where you could overcome this belief that this body is mine. And ultimately something happens in the real body. Then he gives a couple of examples. He says, I know of a heart patient, and one day his inner self said, you don't have a heart problem, you don't even have a heart. Your heart is fine. And that patient, reflecting at least a second, said, he's free. And he was. This is how it comes about if you're trying, really trying, practicing. Spirit has some way of knowing it, and being all power, all intelligence, it has a way of getting across to you that you're making progress. I'm going to realize that the immortal body that I speak about is everywhere. I just become aware of it over here. But there's no limitation to your immortal body. I mean, it extends into infinity. Yes, I told you about that experience I had of the immortal body. I was awakened at 4 in the morning, and I never wake up at 4 in the morning. And the little voice said, meditate. So I went out to the living room, and I sat on my couch, closed my eyes, and said something like, Father, lift me up into thy presence, and let thy presence descend in me. Let there be no mortal mind, but only thy presence. And suddenly I felt the presence on the side of my arm. And then the presence went the whole length of my left side. And then it filled up my entire body, this human body. The presence filled up the entire body. There was no human body, only this presence. And then it filled the room I was in, and I was that presence, and the presence was I. And then it filled the house, and I was everywhere in the house, and everywhere in the house was in me. And I knew the next step, it's going to go infinite. I'm going to experience my infinite self. And I got a little scared, and I said, Father, I'm afraid. And the reason why I was scared was not going infinite, but I had said some things to God about a month before that, because I was really mad at him. And I felt guilty about what I'd said. And I had an idea I was going to see him face to face. So that's why I said that. But even so, I know what the immortal body is. And I know that I am that. And I know that the I of you is that. So, he says, our function is to outgrow this image and to become an immortal body. That is all our function is on this earth, is to come into our immortal awareness of Christhood, of our being. And when we do that, we come into the soul awareness. You just can't hop that fast, but you do come into the soul. And I'm talking as dead serious as I can, because I expect to see everyone again. And I expect to live in the soul realm with the various people that we talk to. Lord knows that we're not playing games. And we're not meant to play games. And we're to take this teaching as seriously as it was delivered. And when Joel brought it to us, it came direct from one of God's ambassadors. So he says this is serious, very serious, what we're doing. Not that you can't have joy. You can. So he says, if we want some rules, you can't heal everybody. If this person hadn't called me, I couldn't heal her. And if someone else called me for her, I couldn't heal her. If someone hadn't called me for the boy who had AIDS, I couldn't help him. The person with it has to call you, just as if you're going to operate on someone. Someone calls you and says, will you operate on him? If you're a doctor, well, you can't do that. You've got to get his permission. If you're a doctor, yeah, you have to get his permission. So this is the same. You don't operate on a body that hasn't given you permission. And you don't work for an individual who hasn't given you permission. In this work, you just don't touch those things. Okay. They're going to ask you, how much is it going to cost? Well, I only know what I've been told. We don't charge fees. So if you want to charge fees, if you want to make some money out of this thing, I'd advise you not to go into it. You just do your work and your payment is whatever that person decides. If they don't decide anything, that's your payment. You just heal and you're happy that you can do it. And if this person doesn't pay you, maybe that one will. And it's not as important as it sounds when you're on the line healing people. You're interested in the healing, and somehow the income takes care of itself. You'll find that you're never poor, and patients who are aided will be grateful. That's how finances work. Now, we would have some rules, I guess. When a child comes and the child is sick, the parent asks you to heal the child. Well, obviously a child can't ask you for help, so that's considered perfect authorization. So you accept the case. If you try to heal an individual and you don't love that individual, you don't believe he's the Christ. If you don't believe he's the Christ, you won't heal him. If he's the Christ, why does he need healing? Well, he doesn't realize that he's the Christ. Most people don't. You can think of a time when you didn't. And I venture to say that there are some who still don't. So you're going to need healing while you're the Christ, but the Christ is your invisible self. The Christ is never visible, except in a rare case, and then the Christ was invisible. Everywhere you're walking, you're not seeing who's there. Everywhere you're walking, perfection is, and it's not visible. So, although he's the Christ invisibly, he needs help in the outer. We have to let these words kind of let them go and don't get hung up on the inner and the outer and all that. The one principle that you must stand on is the recognition of the invisible God coming to you for recognition. And then enter your meditation and until you feel that and recognize it, and then your work's done. You sit still in case Christ has something to say. Although he's the Christ invisibly, he needs help in the outer. All you're going to do in the outer is change the image. But you're restoring him to that opportunity that you have, the opportunity of being the Christ knowingly, so that you can come into those things which are your birthright. Now then, the individual who has a problem doesn't know he is God life. He doesn't know that he is not ever separated from God, because how can you be separate from God? How can you separate God life from the individual who is God life? But he is living in a sense of separation. And why did God do this? Why would God put me through these problems? Why would God do this? Why would God do that? He is completely apart from God. He thinks of God as another self. And the whole human race is living under the impression that God is another self. But you are living in the impression out of your inner experience that God is who I am. God is who he is. The invisible life of every individual is God. There's only one life, and if all of the individuals on earth pass away, that's still God life, and it's still present. And the next crop of individuals gets the same opportunity. There's still God life. And that's all there is. You must realize this truth about you first, that God life is your life. God life is infinite. There is no other life. A person can never be alive. There isn't any such thing. There's only God life. Now, these are all the things that must be worked with until you know instinctively that you are the one permanent, eternal God-life. And if you don't believe it, you're just a mortal being that's going to die. Look back at Jesus' teaching. Look back at Paul's teaching. See that all of us are the life that never dies. And you started, at least, on knowing that I am permanent life, and as such I have the power to establish in the other individuals the same truth that I am learning, that they are permanent life, that they are the Christ. And finally, through your deeds and actions, you will be doing precisely what he was doing, bringing attention to all men that the kingdom of God life is the only kingdom there is. And it's right here, and then we see how fast we can move up. Now those are the basics of what we are about to do. He says, I'd like to feel that everyone is working on the knowledge that God life is on this earth. It's the only life. I am it, and I'm going to expand my awareness of it, and I'm going to expand other people's awareness of it, using caution, discretion, only when they ask. It's the realization of divine identity, but that's only part of it. It's the realization that divine identity is the only identity on the globe. There must be the day when you come into the realization of your identity, and maybe that's today. I can pledge that I will try to accept everyone I see, and accept is supposed to be spelled A-C-C-E-P-T, accept. I can pledge that I will try to accept everyone I see in the invisible light of God, and that if I'm called upon by anyone to help, I won't rush into it. Try to prove that I'm a great healer, but I will take certain steps, and among those will be, yes, I will heal you. Now, if you're phoning me, I'll hang up. Call me back in a week or 10 days. But if you're writing to me, I'll do the same. Very few cases are handled right, person to person, right now. But it's possible. Most of the stuff will be done all over the world just as perfectly as if you could do it in a person's living room. They're going to get right on the phone, and you're going to get a call in 5 minutes. You've got a problem. Someone's dying. You didn't have it 5 minutes ago, and if they're dying, you're going to panic. Well, let's get straight on those things then. There's nobody dying. You see, that's what they think. No patient is ever dying. If you're God life, how can you die? So there's no death. Nobody in this world will ever die, not a single person. All right, now that reminded me so closely of the Kailua study series and talk number 8, which is called The Secret of the Healing Principle. Now, it's almost word for word what Herb said. Joel says, in other words, what I'm trying to say is this: no person is ever dying. Now try to understand this. No person is ever dying. And if you're ever called upon to help a case of a person who seems to be near death, don't try to save their life because you won't succeed. But handle the age-old universal belief of a life apart from God, a life which had a beginning and must have an ending. Handle the universal mesmerism of death, because you see, there is a universal hypnotism which says that everybody who is born must die. And that same hypnotism says we were born, that we were created of matter, born of man and woman. He says, this is not a personal belief. This isn't just a belief of you individually. This is a universal belief that existed since time began. All right, so no person is ever dying. See, we're called upon to recognize not the person that's dying, but to recognize the immortal life that's really there. So Herb says, now, when you've got a particular case, you've got to be sure that you're obeying some of the necessities of success for that patient's sake and for your sake. You know that you've got to know that this person is the unrealized light of God. See, what you've got to do to heal him, you can't talk to him. There's nothing you can say to him that's going to heal him. So we don't bother to say anything. The patient can go read a book. The patient can lie down. The patient can do anything the patient is comfortable with. You don't even have to have a long conversation with the patient. In fact, when he establishes with you that he wants a healing, you can drop the patient altogether. There's nothing you can do with him. That's the hardest part. Humanly, we sit down, we have to drop the other human. And then we have to drop our human self. So we drop them, we drop us, we're left with the presence of God. Father, reveal thyself. Show me what's really here. Show me the truth. And then listen, wait. It would vary. Some practitioners will say give him some advice, but I say only a minimum. The advice isn't going to heal him. He's still going to be faced with the fact that you have to recognize his light. So I think just forget the patient. If you want to do something to set him at ease, that's fine. But the healing is going to depend on what you do about him that he can't do for himself, so there's no point in talking to him. Now, we all know what it's like to meditate and find our within, in which we get outside our body. You meditate, you get outside your body, and you feel the click, the feeling, the awareness, and you might get it rather quickly sometimes. If you happen to be in the right frame of consciousness, you get the feeling of the presence of Christ in you, and you're lifted to that level, and you get the peace. Your patient's got to feel it. He's got to feel better. And you'll hear a call real quick, I feel a lot better. I'm thinking about you. What you must do to yourself, not to the patient. You don't do anything to the patient. He calls and asks for help, and you say yes, but you don't do anything to him, because there's nothing you can do. He might be in Tokyo. There's nothing you can do, but you can touch your spirit to his spirit, and then rest in that awareness. And it's the awareness that heals. And you don't know how it heals. You'll never know. If we believe Joel, he said he does not know how to heal someone. But he knows how to get into meditation. He knows how to look past the person. He knows how to give his recognition to the invisible God, the invisible Christ presence. And then when he does that and becomes aware of it, something happens. This harmony of this Christ appears. And the person says, oh, I feel a lot better, thank you. So your job, you thought you were going to be a healer. You're not. There's no one to heal and nothing to heal. Your job is not healing anybody. Release them. Release her. Release them. Your job is to recognize God invisible right here. Right here. Where they appeared to be is God invisible. And I will commune with it. I will feel it. God invisible. Omnipresence. And in this stillness, in this absence from a human self, I am present with God, present with Christ, and I feel its presence. And then you see, talking and thinking can stop. Wonderful presence reveals itself, and I feel it. I feel its presence. And I say, thank you, Father. Thank you.